I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Cyber Intel, sponsored by WhoisXML API, a dominant domain, IP, and DNS data intelligence provider since 2010. You can find out more about WhoisXML API at whoisxmlapi.com. Joining me today is Jonathan Zhang, founder and CEO of WhoisXML API. Hi, Jonathan. It's great to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Hillary. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Jonathan, you have already started to cover attack surface management and brand protection in the last episode of Cyber Intel. To recap, you mentioned that many internet properties could attempt to imitate companies' mission-critical domains, especially as those often can't be attributed to the companies themselves. And today, I understand we're going to be taking a closer look at companies in an exciting industry. I am really excited for this episode because it's going to surround e-gaming or video gaming, that whole industry. Can you give us a little context here to start off?
Yeah, I'm happy to. I recently came across a report from Alchemy that looked at cyber attacks targeting gamers and gaming industries. Overall, those attacks have become more frequent. In 2020, the researchers identified more than 240 million web application attacks. That's a 340% increase compared to year 2019. Know that this isn't exactly surprising. People around the world have been in lockdown, and gaming is typically an indoor activity. Actually, statistics show that almost half of the world's population play video games. The gaming user base can therefore be quite lucrative for the bad guys. That said, there's nothing entirely new about the techniques they employ for the gaming industry. For example, Alchemy mentioned the use of phishing kits. These kits typically serve as a backend for phishing attacks. The frontend, meanwhile, could basically be one or more web pages that tend to mirror legitimate websites. This brings me back to brand protection. More specifically, typo-squatting domains are among the assets that phishers can rely on to confuse targets, and potentially very much so in the gaming industry.
I see. Okay. Thank you for that context, Jonathan. So would you say that the number of typo-squatting domains related to the gaming industry is rather high? Would that be fair?
I believe so. We did some domain discovery work using the names of top gaming companies. Overall, we found over 10,000 domains and subdomains with the string esports that were added in 2020 and 2021. This number goes above 20,000 when you include strings such as Electronic Arts, Epic Games, Bandai Namco, and Ubisoft. Those are the four popular gaming companies in the world. Besides the brand names, those domains and subdomains also contain internet or gaming-related words. Some examples include online, hostmaster, telesport, entertainment, free, and connect. These terms can make phishing messages and pages more attractive. Imagine that a gamer is sent a link to reset his account's password. This request is probably more credible if it comes from support@epicgames.net instead of a random email address. This domain looks very similar to the legitimate domain and is in fact flagged malicious.
Okay. So does it mean that all gaming domains you identified should be considered dangerous? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, some of them could have been added by gaming enthusiasts or the gaming companies themselves.
That's right. There's probably a fair share of benign domains in the surface we uncovered. Maybe some already belong to the companies or their affiliates. Or, as you said, others may belong to fans. In any cybersecurity analysis, false positives are to be expected. Over 100,000 domains get registered every day, and one big challenge in data security is to often decide which deserves attention. So that's why we need to do asset attribution and validation. Here we want to contextualize and ask questions such as, who owns these properties? Were they added by legitimate companies? Are they newly registered? To answer these questions, we can look at current and historical Hui's records. We might be particularly interested in the timing of registration, and if the Hui's data, like the registrant name or email address, was ever public. The registrars or name servers associated with these records over time can also be clues. Another way to validate is to check for active IPs and hostname resolutions. You can also gather geolocation and network information such as ISPs and AS, which stand for Autonomous System. With this information, we can better trace the origin and ownership of the asset.
Okay, I see. So you basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, you basically build context around the discovered assets. Is that right?
That's right, Hillary. Context helps you decide which internet properties may cause the most harm. In other words, what are the domains and subdomains that are most likely to turn into phishing vectors? Not only this can affect how customers or users perceive you, it can also make you a less reputable business partner if your brand is often impersonated and you do nothing about it. To remediate the situation, you probably want to take down typo-squatting domains that were proven malicious. For instance, we found that a subdomain with the string Ubisoft has been flagged dangerous on our TIP threat intelligence platform for malware. We looked up the subdomain's root domain and determined its registrar. Also, the domain's current Hui's records are redacted, but there was a historical registrant that could still be relevant to look at. Know that not all dangerous domains will immediately be flagged as they go live. There can be some time between when an asset becomes dangerous and when it gets picked up by malware engine. If you do not want to wait, you can keep an eye on the content hosted on those domains. For instance, we found a website showing questionable news content. Its web configuration was also somewhat faulty. Another angle could be look at the timing of domain registrations. For example, our research team studied groups of bulk registered domains identified through our typo-squatting data feed. In particular, a group of A suspicious PayPal domains were identified for being registered on the same day and looking very similar to each other. With this information, we uncovered an additional 1,000 domains with the same string and that are probably related to the initial suspicious group.
Interesting. Okay, noted. So what happens to the rest of the properties, you know, those that aren't malicious or suspicious? I guess what should be done with them?
Good point. We can treat them as dormant, but keep monitoring them just in case. Certain changes to their Hui's records can be indicators of suspicious activity. For instance, being transferred to a less reputable registrar or name server changes could hint at the domain being prepared for an attack. In addition, a change in a domain's status could also tell us if it's involved in something sketchy. Domain statuses such as client hold and client renew prohibited, for example, probably indicate that the domain is involved in legal issues. Know that monitoring doesn't just apply to domains that a company doesn't own. Actually, organizations need to monitor their internal domain portfolio very closely. Big enterprises often have third parties, such as reputable registrars, to manage their domain portfolio for them. Whatever the setup, keeping track of domain expiration dates and renewing registration on time is a must. This would prevent other entities from grabbing mission-critical domains when they are mistakenly left to expire. Then there's also the case of dangling DNS entries. Organizations can make themselves vulnerable when they deprovision resources like cloud instances, but forget to remove certain DNS records from their DNS zone. And also, they need to continuously monitor their DNS zone to make sure that they do not open themselves to subdomain takeovers. Broadly speaking, a subdomain takeover happens when threat actors identify a dangling subdomain, take control of it, and can route traffic to a website where they manage the content.
Okay, very interesting. So we've been learning more about managing domain and DNS surfaces in this conversation, and you know, it's been really informative so far. And so I want to ask you, Jonathan, you know, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners kind of as we wrap up our conversation?
Sure, Hillary. I would like to recap the different steps that company can follow as part of their attack reduction and brand protection efforts. First, we have the discovery phase, where we look for properties connected to an organization or a brand. These properties could be subdomains under an organization's root domain, or they could be cyber-squatting domain names, like gaming-related properties we talked about earlier. We then attribute and validate these assets. At this stage, we provide context to domains and subdomains we found. We could analyze historical ownership details, DNS records, or IP resolutions, to name a few possibilities. Then we prioritize remediation as needed for the contextualized assets. We probably want to block domains found to be malicious at this point. We can also look to fix mix configurations and potential vulnerabilities and then identified for mission-critical domains. After that comes the ongoing monitoring of the identified internet assets. But the process doesn't just end there. Organizations need to be regularly rerun discovery analysis, validate newly found assets, etc. It really is a continuous effort.
Certainly sounds like a continuous effort, but I think that that is a great path forward for organizations. So Jonathan, thank you again for coming on the show and taking part in today's episode and making the time. It's great talking to you as always. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Hillary. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Cyber Intel is sponsored by WhoisXML API. WhoisXML API offers some of the world's most comprehensive sources of domain, IP, and DNS intelligence on the market. With over 50,000 satisfied customers, WhoisXML API has been a key player in the security value chain since 2010, helping all types of cybersecurity companies build better security tools and companies. To learn more, visit them on the web at whoisxmlapi.com. And to hear our other podcasts and to watch our videos, visit us at cybercrimemagazine.com.